Our Father and our God, this morning we thank thee for the mercy, the grace of this day. We thank thee, Father, for bringing us together in this place to look into thy word. Holy Father, we now pray that thou will minister to us this morning through thy word. Bless, I pray, the declaration as well as the reception of thy word. This is my prayer. In Jesus' name I pray and I give thanks. Amen. I thought you are a Christian. You probably have heard this word said to you as it has been said to me on a few occasions. It is not a complimentary statement. Rather, it is a statement that signifies a discrepancy. A discrepancy between confession and practice. You know, to the watching world, there is a certain perception of a Christian, not necessarily what a Christian looks like facially, but how a Christian should act and conduct themselves. It is often the failure to live up to this perception that usually calls into question the validity of our faith. And thus you find the statement being said, "I thought you are a Christian." Now, while a Christian might respond by saying, no one is perfect, or that God is still walking with me, the fact remains that as a Christian, you are constantly under a microscope. Every word, every action that proceeds from you will always be held to the scrutiny of the watching world. It is this inevitable reality that the scrutiny will always be before the world that should prompt each one of us to begin to conduct ourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, as the Apostle Paul would teach us in Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Unfortunately, though, among many Christians, there are so many of us who just don't care. We have this attitude that we just don't care how people think or what people feel about us. And now, while you might say, well, that is who I am, we need to go back to the pages of Scripture to understand the importance of how we live before the watching world, to understand what the Lord Jesus himself, through the apostles, have instructed us to do. You know, for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be impactful in our decaying world, Christians must not only realize that we're under the microscope, but we need to know how to behave towards outsiders. As Peter will remind us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, he said, "Let your conduct be excellent. Let your behavior be excellent among the Gentiles." And I think this morning is what's bringing me to this very important topic, that each one of us sitting here this morning must make it a goal to conduct ourselves with wisdom towards outsiders. And this is essentially what I'm going to teach about this morning. Now, as a prefix, I think it is important for me to ask one fundamental question. And that is simple. Who exactly is a Christian? A Christian is a person who has accepted God's free gift of salvation by putting their trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and living in conformity to the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me put it differently. A Christian is a person who has given his or her own life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then he or she is now living in conformity to his word and his teachings. Now, if you pay close attention to that definition, you're going to see two key things that are highlighted here. And that has to do with acceptance and obedience. On the first hand, a Christian must be a person who has accepted or confessed and professed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have accepted the free gift of salvation by putting their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, that's not the end of it. the righteousness must now begin to be part of their DNA. In other words, they should now begin to gravitate towards righteousness and living in obedience towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first part of this definition, we find the majority of people today say they are Christians. But the key thing is about the righteousness and the obedience. Because if you said to me, I confess the Lord Jesus Christ, but yet you refuse to conform yourself to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is not a valid faith before God. That is why the Lord Jesus will remind us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, he said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Again, pay close attention to that. It is not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into that kingdom of heaven. In other words, it's not everybody who makes a profession or say, listen, I'm saved, I'm a believer, that will enter into that kingdom unless they combine it with obedience, living in conformity to the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is who a Christian is. And if you go back to the book of Acts and you begin to study Acts chapter 11, the first time believers were actually called Christians, Acts chapter 11, verse 26, it was in the city of Antioch. Before they came to be called Christians, they were actually called the Way, meaning that they always professed to know the way. Then in Antioch, then their names were changed to Christians. Now, we believe that the change of their name was simply to reveal the way the early believers lived their lives, that they were living in conformity to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. In essence, the word Christians means little Jesus. That was the implication of that name. And many, I believe, that name was meant to be a derogatory term that was given to these believers to tell them, to distinguish them from all others, to say, listen, these are little Jesus. That is why it's important to understand that for you as a believer, confession is good, but you must be able to surrender and obey the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you truly obey and you have truly confessed and you are living in conformity to his word, that is when you come under the microscope, because the world is looking at you. So now let's turn to our question then. You know, why is it that Christians, more than any other faith, are always under the microscope? Well, I believe there are two reasons why this is. And the first reason is this. You know, Christians are always under the microscope because of the person we are expected to emulate. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, since as a Christian, we are meant to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfect both in word and in deed, it is often the expectation of the unbelieving world that his followers should also be at least close to being perfect in word and deed as their master. They should be people of impeccable moral virtue, and we should be very steeped in love and compassion just as our master. As such, we are always under the microscope. That is why your unbelieving family members, your neighbors and your friend who know that you're a Christian will always be watching you. They want to know whether you are truly who you say that you are. And interestingly, more than believers, the unbelievers can detect whether we are living a life that is false and is fake. That is why as believers, you got to understand that they hold us to that high level, high standard, because of the person that we're expected to emulate. We are expected to live as Christ lived. We're expected to reveal the light of God as Christ revealed the light of God. Yes, I know you will say to me, Pastor, listen, we're not perfect. And absolutely, you're correct. But they're looking as close as possible to perfection from you. They're looking at you that you as a Christian should be the epitome of moral standard at your job. That when you got a break that is half an hour, you don't spend 45 minutes. When you as a Christian are driving, you should be the one that continuously to express self-control because of the person you emulate. That is the key here, loved ones. That is why people are always watching you. Because they expect you, at least from their perception, to be like your master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in all actuality, that is what God calls us to be. We are to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking daily to perfect holiness in the fear of God. But again, unfortunately, there are many of us who don't emulate the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the world sees is completely different from what the scripture calls us to be. The second reason is this. Why Christians are always under the microscope? It is because of the message that we proclaim. Now, while the gospel is the good news of God's love for humanity, in sending His Son, the Lord Jesus, to be the propitiation for sin, on the other hand, it is also a message of judgment. If you pay attention to John 3:16, very clear, pay attention to it. People often miss out the other part of John 3:16. He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Pay attention to that verse. There are two parts to the verse. God's love for sinful humanity and the consequence of disobedience. And the consequence of disobedience is perishing. That is what many people miss out when they look at John 3:16. So the message we proclaim, listen, God loves you. God wants you to come to Him. God has made a way for you to be saved through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you forsake your own mercy. And as such, the consequence of you forsaking Him is eternal damnation. That message is strong because the world don't want to hear that message. But not only the message as it relates to eternal damnation, but the message of exclusiveness. You know, if you really pay attention to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing like pluralism in Christianity. Implication is that not every way goes to God. The Bible is very clear. John 14, verse 6. You can memorize that. Jesus will say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Pay attention to that definite article. Jesus said, listen, I am the only way, not a way. I am the only way. I am the only truth. I am the only way to God. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one, no man comes to the Father but by me. It's the message of exclusiveness. And in such a world like this, no one wants to hear that. Everyone wants to design their way to get to their God. Everyone wants to come their own way, but Jesus is saying to us, listen, I am the way. That is the message of the Christian faith. And that message oftentimes put us at odds against the world because the world watches and say, why do you all think you are better than everybody else? Why do you all think like that? And they put us, and we're put under a microscope and say, okay, let me see you live out the life that you preach. Let me see you live out the life. And they quickly are able to point out any form of hypocrisy within the body of Christ. Because for the unbeliever, your message says everybody's going to hell if we don't believe in Jesus. But here you are living in disobedience to the word that you proclaim. But the message we proclaim puts us on a different plateau than any other religion. All of the world religion don't claim to have a God who has been resurrected. All other world religions don't claim to. Some of them say, listen, you got to believe in this. And they have different ways that you can kind of believe in other ways and all these ways, but not the Christian faith. And that is why you and I are constantly under the microscope. Now, with that said, since you and I will always be under the microscope, it is then important to know how to conduct ourselves with wisdom towards outsiders. It is important to know how to live a life that there will be uniqueness in your word, uniqueness in your deeds. Then you might say to me, how do I achieve this? How do I conduct myself with wisdom towards outsiders? Let me give you three ways this morning that I believe you can achieve this as a Christian. The first thing is this. You must be intentionally Christian. Again, pay attention to what I just said. You must be intentionally Christian. You know, carelessness and lack of vigilance is always a very present danger in the life of a Christian. You know, we are often prone to get carried away in our day-to-day routine and letting down our guards, and we become careless in words and in deeds and become, you know, a negative impact or a negative reflection of the light of Jesus Christ. And the world sees something that does not conform to what we profess. That is why it is important for you to now be intentionally Christian. And I want you to pay attention to that word that I use, intentionally Christian. What that simply means is this. You must, like you get up in the morning and do your personal hygiene, get your clothes in shape, get everything looked before you go onto the street. You intentionally prepare yourself to go into the world. The same thing for you as a Christian. You must now be intentionally Christian. In other words, you must be intentional about the way you present yourself. And to achieve this, you must have to put the glory of God as your ultimate goal every single day. What do I mean by that? Well, if you go to Colossians, again, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, the Apostle Paul will say this. He said, in everything, in word and in deed, do it as unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We go again to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. The Apostle Paul will say, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That is the key, loved ones, this morning. To be intentionally Christian, everything you do must be done by towards the glory of God. In other words, the glory of God must be your overarching goal every day you wake up in the morning. That you say to yourself, listen, I'm going out into the world and I got to make it my objective that in whatever I do today, the glory of God must be there. I must not be caught being careless. I must not be caught just living a life in control or unable to control myself, but I must make the Lord Jesus Christ and his glory my utmost desire. You might say, well, it's tough to do. No, it is not. It is not. It is just having the mindset that you constantly, daily, as you leave your home, you are constantly in that mindset. Just as you are constantly in the mindset when you go out down the street every single day. Because every time you go out, especially you ladies, you go out to the bathroom, you got to look at the mirror, make sure everything is good, right? You are intentional about the way you look. You are intentional about the way you carry yourself. You go to a meeting, you are intentional about what you say. The same thing applies to you as a believer. We must be intentional. In our homes, we must be intentional. Our children are looking at us. And I truly believe for many of us, the reason our children are rebelling is because we are not a good example of what we preach. I need to stay there for a minute this morning. Many of us are not a good example of what we preach because we find homes that are filled with dysfunctionality and we tell our children, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be able to be intentionally Christian in our own homes. Understanding that others are watching us. Our children are watching us. We must be intentionally Christian at our job. Understanding that, yes, I punch in. Yes, I sign in the morning. But I'm not working for my boss. But I'm working for Jesus.
That is why Paul will say, walk as unto the Lord. You walk as if Jesus is watching you. That is the glory of God. That is what it means to be intentionally Christian. And what people then will see will be the uniqueness of who you are. They will see a distinction. You will be like Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, when the satraps were trying to find an accusation against Daniel, and they looked everywhere. They couldn't find it because Daniel was a man of impeccable character. Daniel was intentionally Christian, shall I use that word? The only thing they could find with Daniel was that he prayed every day, three times, I believe, facing Jerusalem. That was the only thing they could accuse him of. And that was why they threw him in the lion's den, because Daniel was a man of impeccable character. And I believe as Christians, you got to be intentionally Christian. Make the glory of God your daily overarching goal. That when you go out, even when you're in your home, it's the Lord Jesus that becomes your overarching desire. The second thing is this. How then do we conduct ourselves with wisdom towards outsiders? We have to be consciously introspective. Again, we have to be consciously introspective. You know, in that fairy tale story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, you know that story pretty well. The wicked queen had this magical mirror, right? And the mirror that never lies. And every time she asked the question, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? And the mirror will reply, listen, you are the queen. The mirror said that until Snow White, the king's daughter, grew up. Then all of a sudden things changed. But in Christianity, I believe that there is truly a mirror for each one of us. And that mirror is the Bible. That each one of us, every morning as Christians, should be able to say to the mirror of God's word, mirror, mirror on the wall, how do I look today? How was my character yesterday? How was my attitude yesterday? Did I conduct myself well? You know, it's constant introspection. No, you look within yourself. You ask yourself the question, like the Apostle Paul will remind us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. He said this. He said, test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself, or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Jesus is in you? What Paul was telling the believers in Corinth, while it was on a different context, but it was encouraging introspection. That examine yourself, look into yourself, ask yourself questions. You know, and at times, while it is often tough to do this, I believe that's why you got to have someone that you're accountable to. Every Christian should have someone they're accountable to. Someone that could be able to look at you and say to you, you know, your attitude is not well. Someone that could look at you and say to you, the way you responded in that place wasn't right. Someone that could explain to you and be able to confront you so that you can be able to look deep into your own self. Listen, as iron sharpens iron, we got to sharpen each other. But we got to be introspective. We got to be able to look within ourselves. Before you speak, pause, contemplate your words. You know, contemplate your word. Am I saying what is going to be right here? Am I just pouring out my words, or am I thinking through what I'm saying? And I believe it's when you and I begin to walk in that area of conscious introspection that we are now guided in the way that we present ourselves to the watching world. But there's a final thing here, loved ones. I believe for us to walk with wisdom towards outsiders, we need to focus on the prize before us. We need to focus on the prize before us. You know, Paul will say again in Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, he says, since you have been raised with Christ, he said, keep seeking the things which is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. He says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Therefore, when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, you then will also be revealed with him in glory. Again, pay attention to what the Apostle Paul is saying here. He's saying to us, listen, loved ones, you got to focus your mind on things above. There is a prize for you. There is a prize that is awaiting you in glory. Every one of us that have worked faithfully with the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a prize, there is a reward. As such, when we begin to focus on the reward that's before us, then we'll begin to understand that we need to live a life in this earth that is befitting of who we are called to be. We need to live a life in this world that men and women will see the uniqueness about us. We need to live a life within, because every life we live, everything we do, it's like we're building up treasures for ourselves in heaven. We are serving Christ with sincerity. We are serving Christ with our hearts. We're serving Christ with diligence. We're serving Christ with every, and the more you serve Christ in everything you do, and you diligently seek after him and set your mind upon his truth and the reward before you, you will find yourself conducting yourself with wisdom towards everybody else watching you. And loved ones, this morning, I want you to know that someone is watching you. And you can choose this morning to reject what I'm saying and say, you know what, I really don't care. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, if you don't care, our Lord Jesus is going to be put under the microscope as well, because we will bring reproach upon the name of the person that we profess to love. Let us don't bring reproach on the name of Jesus. Let us walk in obedience before him, living a life that honors him and glorifies him. And the Lord Jesus, faithful, will always reward us for our unfaithfulness. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, this morning we give thanks, O Lord, for the mercy thou hast richly bestowed upon us here, that we can join together here tonight to hear the word of our great God. Holy Father, we now pray now that will bless this word, that will cause each one of us to begin to walk in obedience before thee day by day, that our light will shine, our salt will taste to the glory of our great God in heaven. We now commit this time into thy hands, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray and give thanks. Amen.